Yes, Nitzer. So we've got a special 32-page magazine on Yom Ha'atzmaut. Of course, it's the 70th anniversary. So we've put together quite an in-depth and colourful, something, you know, that people can keep and read again and again, hopefully. Some interesting things. There's a timeline of Israel's history and milestones from 1948 till today. There's interviews with 5 Australian Jews about their memories of Israel's declaring independence in 1948. We have a look at the significance of the wording of Israel's declaration of independence. Then we have a feature on the evolution of Israel's kibbutzim. Story looking at Israel as a world leader in research and technology. And we have a few stories about achievements in the arts, and also some good travel tips about your next trip going to Israel.
Yeah, I'm sure people will celebrate next week. Yom Ha'atzmaut is on the 18th of April this year, and I'm sure there are lots of parties around town. I know the Israeli club is having a very big party to celebrate Israel's 70th next Saturday night, and the community is also welcome to join that party. Shane, what else is happening in around the Jewish community in Australia?
Well, there was another Yom HaShoah being marked in Melbourne and in Sydney. It's on the 12th, but on the 8th in Sydney at New South Wales University at Clancy Auditorium, there were about 800 people came for the Jewish Board of Deputies commemoration service. The theme this year was looking at the survivors' lives post-war and how they transformed their lives on arrival in Australia and basically had to start again. So we had Paul Drexler, who came to Australia with his mother after the war and worked tirelessly to rebuild their lives. He said, life is good now. He's a very lucky man. However, to come to this place, they had to come a long way, not just in distance, but also emotionally. There was author and child survivor Diane Armstrong. She was masquerading with her family as Catholics in the remote Polish town of Piszczek, and that meant living in a constant state of tension. She marveled at how her strength of her parents, who rebuilt their lives with an energy and a positive attitude. She also talked about the experiences of her relatives, and that it was only after a serendipitous meeting with an old family friend and priest in Poland that she embraced her own identity as a survivor. She said, my family memoir called Mosaic wasn't just about her remarkable relatives. It was about her story and journey too. There was 5 other survivors who spoke, and they lit their memorial candles. One of them, Nathan Chansman, who lit a candle honoring the righteous among the nations, in honor of Anthony Kozelski, who saved Chanaman's father and half-brother. There were also other commemorations held at Rookwood Cemetery and Masada College and the Sydney Jewish Museum.
We are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, one of the most intriguing articles and interesting articles that I've read in the Jewish News was about the world's largest seder, the Haggadah that was read in the Himalayas.
Yes, you would have thought, answering a question, which is the biggest one, it might have been in New York or Jerusalem or L.A., but no, it was in Kathmandu in Nepal. Almost 30 years ago, Sydney's Rabbi Mendel Castell from Jewish House, along with his colleague Mendel Lipskia, hosted what they thought would be quite a small seder with about 40 or 50 Israeli backpackers, but instead word spread and they ended up being hundreds and hundreds of people attending this seder. So what they did to the last week was they went to Nepal again and did a 30th anniversary seder, and this time there were also a huge number. There was 900 guests breaking matzah at the seder. So Rabbi Castell said,
I can't believe it, 900. What, there's 900 Israelis at the Himalayas in Kathmandu?
hard to believe.
900 around one table. How did they manage the logistics of it to put 900 people around tables? Wow.
It took a lot of planning. In fact, Rabbi Kestel said that it took 2 months, around 2 months, for all the matzah and wine to be flown in from Israel. And he said it was an experience of a lifetime and one they'll never forget.
It is. I mean, just thinking about feeding my family and thinking about feeding Pesach, I mean, just to get all the provisions, the matzah and all the kosher food into Kathmandu for 900 people, this is unbelievable challenge. It's a lovely story. And we're talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, on a really happy note, we were all watching the Commonwealth Games in Queensland. There are some Jewish participants that are very successful.
Yes, Nitza. Look, this has been undoubtedly so far, we're not even finished yet, but the most amazing Commonwealth Games for Jewish Australians. In fact, we've got our first ever gold medalist at the Commonwealth Games, not one, but two gold medals. So we had Jemima Montag, a 20-year-old race walker who won the 20-kilometre race. She's from Caulfield in Melbourne. It was actually only her third ever 20-kilometre race. She's only done previously, for many years, she did 10-kilometre races and 5-kilometre races. But she made the team and she decided to give it all her own, her best. She came first. She was absolutely delighted at the medal ceremony. We spoke to her afterwards and she said, it hasn't really sunk in yet. It still feels quite surreal. But she believed in herself. She just wasn't prepared for that incredible feeling of seeing the flag raised and the Australian anthem being sung. We have a second gold medal, Matthew Levy in para swimming in the 50-metre men's freestyle. And of course, Matthew Levy, he's 31, he's from North Sydney, he's won Paralympic gold medals, silver medals, bronze medals, he's broken world records at world championships. But the one thing he was missing all this time was Commonwealth Games gold. So in his Commonwealth Games debut in the Gold Coast, he won his race by more than half a body length. He said the noise from the crowd of 10,000 in the stands, all cheering Aussies, was absolutely incredible. That's part of what spurred him on. He said it's very rare to experience a home Commonwealth Games, and you don't get many opportunities to do that. So to go on to win gold was something very special, and he said he was just grateful he was able to get that once-in-a-lifetime chance.
That's amazing. Shane Dziatnik, I would like to wish you Yom Atzmaut Sameach, Chag Sameach. Thank you so much.